The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody. Thank you for joining our show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what do we have this week in recovery news?
So this one comes out of the great country of Australia. A pharmacist who founded a medicinal cannabis company has been banned from supplying cannabis. Two doctors have been suspended after one client was hospitalized with psychosis and the other took his own life. The father of the man who took his own life was repeatedly sent cannabis even after his child had died. They notified the company and they kept on sending it. Then the other thing was, is both of these individuals, and this brings up, you know, with marijuana and psychosis, both of these individuals' families had notified the company that they had this predisposition towards psychosis, and the company kept on giving it to them. And they both had major breaks. And, you know, you hear about marijuana in the news a lot, and that's what you see a lot of times with underlying schizophrenia and psychosis, is that it can actually lead to having a break, a mental break.
Well, listen, yes. It piggybacks on what we've been talking about for years, that the marijuana isn't all that it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of hidden dangers with it, you know, and a lot of internal unmanageability that people run into it when they're doing it too much, you know?
Absolutely. Hey, we got a good show lined up today.
Yes, we do.
We have two of our good friends on, Denise and Steve Leckerman. And let's do this. I don't even know what I'm doing, but can we take a break? And then we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
What's happening? Brandon Novak here from Those Movies Jacks, or author of that addiction memoir, Dream Seller. Do me a favor and tune into Clean and Sober Radio with Gary Hendler.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You can also enjoy our show, Clean and Sober Radio, obviously in Philadelphia, WWDB, 97.5 FM HD2 in Philadelphia, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, and WNBR in Tampa, Florida. They're just a few of them, aren't they, Mark?
Yes, we're spreading around the world. Actually, we've had some people tuning in from England, from the Maldives. It's great.
I still don't know where those islands are.
I don't either, but, you know, it's somewhere near maybe the Bahamas or something. No. I don't know. Maybe one of our listeners can look it up.
Yeah, okay, before they
call
in.
We won't get into that one, right?
A couple things before we start the show. So this is our fundraising drive. It's our season. Please, if you enjoy the show these last 12 years and you want us to continue, please go to our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com, and hit the donate button. And for real, we can't do this without your help.
Yeah, send anything, even if you send a dollar or $2, and you know, it really contributes to caring.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe $500. Yeah. What you know, really helps to carry the message.
You remember when we used to give away a car?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. For a couple years,
we had a lot of cars.
Yes, Matchbox cars.
Matchbox cars.
We were afraid we were going to get sued because we kept on bringing this up.
Yeah. Okay, so all kidding aside, we get a lot of people watching us on Facebook, Clean and Sober Radio, our page on Facebook. And they're the people who are they're listening and then they're watching the show, okay? We get so many that we have to cut this down a little bit to get everybody in. So what we propose is this. We're going to put out a question before the show starts, and if you respond to the question and also tell us where you're
coming from.
Yeah. We'll be glad to put you on the radio. But we can't do 100 people in an hour. So this is a good way. Please tell us where you're coming from and try to answer the question that we ask. So let's start this week. Just when you respond to us, tell us where you're coming from, all right? Let's make it easy for our audience. And then next week, we'll go to the question, okay? Is that fair?
Yeah, tell us what city, what state, what country. We'd love to hear how many different listeners from different areas we have.
Right, but you know, for us, Mark, if they say city, we might not know what state it's in.
That's very possible, Gary. I know you and I have talked about it. Our geography is not that good. And I think Brad can attest to that, can he?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes,
absolutely.
He can.
Okay. He's shaking his head.
Okay. Denise and Steve Lekman, welcome to the show, first of all. It's good to see you guys.
Good to be here.
And you look great.
Thank you.
We've known Steve and Denise for years. I think for me, it's been 8 years, maybe. I don't know.
And I think it's longer than that.
Is it longer than? It must be.
Time flies.
Anyway, look, we all have stories. We all have good things in our lives, and we all have tragedy that's in our lives. So we got a lot to talk about with the Lekermans. First of all, let me how do we want to do this? This couple, the Lekermans, have really donated their lives and their service to helping others in addiction get into recovery. Which is, we always say, first thing is to get clean and sober. But then when you reach out and you help other people, that's like icing on the cake. And I guess you guys are both in recovery, just for the audience knows. And why don't we start out with, where are you both from?
I grew up in Ben Salem, Pennsylvania.
It's outside of Philly.
Right, Northeast. Yeah.
And Steve?
And I grew up all through Northeast Philadelphia.
And you were a bad kid, man. I heard stories about
that. I was not a good kid.
But look at you now.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at him now.
Absolutely. You can check the old newspapers, you know. And but I'm always afraid of that. Aren't you guys? Like,
I'm not worried about the old newspapers. No. It's the past. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Thank God social media didn't exist then.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
Absolutely. So, okay. Generally, how long have you guys been in recovery?
I came in 1984, and Steve came in 1979.
So you got 40?
No,
I had relapsed in 97. For one week.
So you got decades, both of you. You got decades. Okay. Yeah. Where'd you meet?
In the rooms.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Denise and I met. She was 18 in 1981,
and you were like 50.
I was like 43. I was a little bit too old against 18 at that time. So we waited a few years.
Great. okay. So was it like love at first, whatever?
No.
He probably loved you.
No, I thought she was adorable, but I thought she was too young, and I didn't play with people in AA, in the program.
But apparently you do.
Respect.
You did.
After many, many years.
Of knowing each other?
Yeah.
What's the age difference again?
14 years.
I'm 13 with mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 14 years. We've been together 17 years. And the amazing thing about what AA's done, we haven't had one fight.
Really?
Really.
We don't fight.
We don't argue. We don't fight.
That's
Gary's wondering how.
No, I went like this.
I'll be honest with you. I learned to keep my big mouth shut.
You choose your battles. But that's nice. Yeah. Look, you know what's really great when you're in a marriage or a long-term relationship, and the other person's also in it, you can relate to a lot of stuff a lot of people can't.
Yeah, it really works. It works well. Ooh, that's me.
That's you.
Little phone guy.
Anyway, let's talk about Lee. Can we do that?
We can.
Talk about your daughter, Lee?
We can talk about my daughter.
Tell us about it, and I understand if you want me to stop,
No.
What type of kid was she?
She was incorrigible. She had no fears whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So her mother and I were only married a short time. After I got out of recovery, we met in the program, her mother and I. And I wound up getting custody of Lee because she went back out and got in trouble. So I wound up getting custody of Lee, and I raised her myself.
So both of Lee's parents had addiction issues.
Absolutely. We met in the program, okay. Right? So she went through school. She went to college. You know, she was in Penn State. She was in her last year at Penn State, and she had no fears whatsoever. I used to tell her all the time, you know, that car you drive weighs tons. You better fear it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she just didn't listen. And one night she was coming home from – it was her last year at Penn State, and we lived out in Bluebell, and she was coming home, and she got in a fender bender. She hit a curb and decided to walk home. And while she was walking home, she was drunk and she got hit by a drunk driver and then another drunk driver and she got killed. Mm. And that was 21 years ago.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, you were saying that she had no fears and everything growing up. Were you really concerned about that? Were you thinking like, because I know I get that with my son, where you like watch them and just being in the program ourselves.
Yeah, being in recovery myself, absolutely.
Yeah.
But there was nothing I could do to make her be afraid of life. Right. And she loved to drink too. That was the other thing. She had it in her system. She loved to drink.
Whatever happened to the person that did this?
So, the guy who hit her, the second, two cars hit her, the second one who killed her had already been locked up for drunk driving previously. And when they went to prosecute him, the DA, whenever I say this story, it just amazes me that I did this. The DA called me up, kept calling me up and saying, will you come into court and testify? And I said, and I just ignored it. And then eventually I said to her, I said, I won't come into court you don't want me to come into court. And she said, why? I said, because all I'm going to do is tell the judge to get him help. There was nothing I could say that's going to bring my daughter back, right? But I'd rather the guy get help than anything else. And I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened to the case and everything, but that was the last time I really talked about it legally.
Right. And this horrible incident is what the impetus for you guys to sort of like donate your lives to helping other people. You guys get people into treatment constantly. I know you're a board member of Live and Grin, and for people who are not from this area, it's a very well-respected, it's been around for a long time, inpatient rehab. Is that in Bucks County?
It's Bucks County.
Bucks County. It's, it's a county that touches Philadelphia County.
Yeah.
And
so I always wanted to do something, Gary, like and for over the years. And when I was asked to be on the board of Live and Grin, it came up that I can start a fund using Living Grin's 501(c). It was easy to do that. And we did it for a while. And then we realized that because the funds we were generating went to Living Grin and we couldn't use them for other things, we kept having people come to us and say, can you help us get into a recovery house? So we were using our own money, right? And Denise said to me, it was her idea. She said, why don't we get our own 501(c) and start our own? And she's the president of the foundation, and what year was that?
2012,
and today we help people. It started in this area, and then it went throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets calls all day. I'll let her talk about this. Yeah. She gets calls all day from people all over the country, and we refer people to recovery houses. Her and a crew of people every other Wednesday night make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to bring down to Kensington.
Do you have to vet out these people? You know, if everybody's asking for money, Denise, how do you know who's for real and who isn't?
You don't really. We have an application process on our website.
Okay.
And
what is your website, by the way?
It's leeshelp.org.
Lee's Help, and it's L-E-I-G-H-S.
Help, H-E-L-P.org.
Okay, go ahead.
So we created an application process because the foundation, once we switched from Living Grin's 501(c)(3), usually it could take up to 2 years to get your own 501(c)(3) when you're applying for it. We got it in 4 weeks.
Yeah, we have
we
one.
We were approved because we already had established what we were doing. through Live and Grin. And
was there any resentment from Live and Grin that you were now controlling some of the money?
No, not at all. No. Live and Grin went through a transition process not too long after that themselves. So we still have them in our back pocket because we're originated out of Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So Live and Grin's in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and it's a facility that we use on a pretty regular basis because it's right at our fingertips. And then, of course, we use we split off from Live and Grin so that we could allocate the funds not only for getting people into detox, but also for aftercare services, for housing. We found a major shortfall for individuals once they completed treatment. If they went into treatment homeless or houseless, however the term, whatever jobless term you want to use, mm-hmm. Chances are they didn't have a place to go once they completed treatment.
Does Live and Grin have, as I remember when I did tour it once, services for police, fire, yes, and military?
Yeah, yes, they have their frat program.
That's mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, and there are some recovery houses in and around the surrounding areas that actually work with Live and Grin for that frat program too, and we do a lot of referral service for that. We have recently been working with Local 22, which is the paramedics in the Philadelphia Fire Department, for a lot of referral-based stuff. And then another big conglomerate that we work with for a referral basis is University of Pennsylvania. They have a UPenn Total Care program, and they have actually they have people out in the trenches, out in the streets, individuals that are sickly because, you know, addiction has really depleted their bodies, and they'll take them into the hospital and medically level set them. They'll stabilize them, and then we get them and we place them. If they've been in a system over and over and over again, like a revolving door for treatment, a lot of times we'll do a full PHP program with housing that's connected to it. So just to kind of shake up, you know, to get them out of that revolving door cycle. And it's been really successful. We've had a lot of success and a lot of good, you know.
It's good work. If you're just joining us now, we're talking to Steve and Denise Leckerman. And they are a couple that does and has for years a lot of great work in our community. They're both in recovery, and they help people get into treatment. And that's the main thing, because without treatment, I believe there's really no recovery, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, and just plugging in like that. And I wanted to ask you, you know, after this horrible tragedy, you know, losing your daughter, how did you get through that sober?
The program.
Yeah, I always
stayed heavily involved in the program, talked to my sponsor, talked to friends about the pain. You know, and there are many times, like, we do fundraisers, and Denise starts the fundraiser and talks about the foundation, and she'll say, you want to come up and say something? Most of the time, I cry about it, so I don't get involved in
Understandable.
It.
Understandable.
Right? I do want to go back a minute, because Denise was ready to talk about one of the biggest needs we found was helping people from the rehab to the recovery house. Because historically, the counties didn't have any money. Luckily, now they've started getting some money. Philadelphia and Bucks and Montgomery, they've started getting some county money, but you have to be certified. But people would go into recovery houses with no cash at all, no job. And what would happen in the recovery house, they would take what they owed and put it on the back end of the bill. So by the time they got a job, they owed them more money than from the past, right? Because they carried it. Yeah. So we fund the first 2 weeks. They apply, the rehab comes to us and applies for it, tells us what recovery house they're going to go to. So the Lee Leckerman Foundation funds the first 2 weeks.
So when
the rehab
fund the first 2 weeks, when they're ready to leave, they don't have that burden.
They don't have that burden at all, no.
It's phenomenal.
That's great.
Also that, you know, if they're going into treatment homeless or, you know, they haven't worked in a lot of years. It takes a long time for some people just to kind of get level set where they can actually perform what we think is normal functioning
of
Absolutely. Life. And 2 weeks isn't enough to cover it, really. one of the things that we do is we ask them to write us a letter a commitment letter that they're going to complete whatever aftercare program the treatment facility sets up for them. They have to write a commitment letter that they're going to complete it, because just going through a drug and alcohol mm-hmm. treatment center is just the chip, you know, it doesn't even begin to touch what the issues are. So they come out of treatment and they may have been in there 10, 11 days, sometimes 21 days, whatever, you know, we can get the funding for. It's really not a lot of time to address any lifelong issues that might be underlying a lot of the mental health stuff that's going on with the addiction. So we ask them to commit to completing if they're going to accept the funds from us. And as I started to say, in the treatment facilities, it's treatment facilities, hospitals, and even Department of Corrections that we work with. It's the professionals that have to put the applications in, because every one of these people has a story. And when you ask them to tell their story, mm-hmm. it's usually pretty horrific and pretty inflated. So instead of us listening to their story, we get the condensed version and what the actual need is from the aftercare coordinators and professionals putting the applications in.
Number here is 1-888-728-9941. That's 1-888-728-9941. If you would just want to reach out and talk on the radio today, or if you'd like to specifically talk to Denise or Steve about their foundation and their experience in anything you want to talk about. That's 1-888-728-9941. And again, if you are watching and you want to listen to us do the show, go to Facebook and go to our page, Clean and Sober Radio, just like these folks have. Mark, there's a lot. Betsy Green, Kathy Wolf, Colin. Hi from Coral Springs, Florida. All fine here. Thank you, Kathy, and we're glad everything is good. Mimi Dorshu. Jim Meehan, Judge Christopher Maddox is watching. Judge, how'd you do today on the bench? He's the fairest judge there is, isn't he, Mark?
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
John Logue, and Judge Maddox says he's responding to us in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania. Thanks, Chris. John Logue, hello, good people. Bob Bailey, Craig Belinsky, Bernadette. So, oh man,
you got it.
So Vada,
you got it.
Did I get it?
I don't have her on mine. But
you guys, I'm like the worst when reading these names.
We go through this every week.
Hey, our buddy Mark Willig is watching. We hope you're feeling okay, buddy. Rich yeah. Moyer, Michael Forbes is watching. Michael Tomlinson is watching. Mark Willing says Denise and Meatball. Just so we clear it up, that's Steve's nickname is Meatball. He doesn't look like a meatball.
No,
you would think so.
I used to.
He used to. Are recovery's royal couple, and they throw killer New Year's parties. Love them both. I've been to them. They are great. Susan Fleming, Vince Vielsen.
So many nice things said about you guys on here.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought you were talking about me.
No. Mike Tomlinson says, I attended a meeting they started during COVID. That's pretty cool.
Shelley Porter Williams, Rick Michael, Beth Schuler. Did you say Lisa Harris?
No.
Hi, Denise and Steve. Long term, darn COVID, missing you and the gang. By the way, it is Lisa Harris from Elkins Park. For everybody listening, that is outside of Philadelphia. Okay, we'll get to it. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break soon.
Take a quick break.
We're going to come back with Denise and Steve Leckerman, and we're just getting into all sorts of great things that they do for this community. And we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, do you see your addiction to drugs or alcohol staring back at you? At Gaudenzia, in that mirror, we see you, healthy and at peace. At Gaudenzia, we see the tools you can use to recover the life you want to live. Hope is in the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you. Your hope is waiting at Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. 833-976-4357. Through Gaudenzia, you can recover your life. Begin today.
Hey, everybody, this is former Philadelphia Flyer Chris Therrien, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, thanks, everybody, for joining us again. Clean and Sober Radio, we broadcast out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and we've been doing this for a long time, and we're all about having fun with a serious subject, which is addiction and how to get it. Resources and all sorts of other stuff. Mark, let me ask something. You just got a new job, didn't you?
Yeah, I got a new job. It's a great place. Some of the best treatment that you can find. It's called Pennsylvania Recovery Centers, and there's Cherry Hill Recovery Centers right across the bridge, and we offer PHP, IOP, MAT, psychiatry, medication management. It goes on and on, and I got to tell you, I've just been like super impressed with the quality of the treatment, you know?
Well, that's why they hired you, because they're impressed with you.
Thank you so much. But and the owners and you know, one of the owners is a professional hockey player. Chris Therrien, our very own Flyer, and you know, he's really put his handprint on this, along with Brant Norton, CEO, is awesome. And you know, I'm really happy. And the number is 610-233-4342. I'm sorry, 610-233-4342.
I'm glad you got that, because Chris is a great guy.
He really is. But you don't botch the number.
I remember about 8 years ago.
Yes.
I don't know where you were working, but you had no idea what to
do. Oh, yeah, that did happen, and he's got to remember this.
Yeah,
he's like,
"What's
the number?" And I was like, uh-oh, we don't know. But yeah, it's a great program.
Is there a website for your organization?
Yes. You can actually write to admissions@PARecoveryCenter.com. admissions@PARecoveryCenter.com, or look up Pennsylvania Recovery Centers on online, and you can go to the website. So
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Veronica G. from St. George, Utah, reached out to us. Should drug users pay for their own treatment and start to become responsible? My response is, let's get treatment first and then worry about who pays.
Yeah, and you know, that's what's so great about what Denise and Steve are doing. You know, it takes away the barriers. And, you know, as a therapist, all the studies show that long-term treatment is the way to go. And you don't really get, it's too expensive, you know, for
people. Can I talk about that?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So I know that there's been a long-term, lifelong stigmatism about drug and alcohol addiction. And the only way that I have ever been able to describe it is, it's no different than heart disease, diabetes, mm-hmm. Vascular disease. Insurance companies will continue to pay for long-term effects of people not being treated for those diseases. So why do people separate the disease of drug and alcohol addiction out of it? Because there's people that are treated. You know, studies show that long-term treatment works. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there's people that don't get treated at all, or they get caught up in the revolving door. What's the difference between that and diabetes? You know, people will go and get medication but not change their diet and exercise and do all that stuff. So they're going to see long-term effects of their diabetes. Like, who draws this line?
We're not there yet. We're absolutely not there.
The
stigma is still there, and until a politician or a CEO of a company is affected, like in their family, they really, unfortunately, don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's such a sad thing. Just what you said, if you went to the hospital and you were having a heart attack and you don't have insurance, can't help you.
Well, and the crazy.
No. I mean, with a heart attack, they will help you. What am I saying?
Yeah. They will.
But you show up whacked out of your mind. They don't want any part of it.
It's no different than, let's say, obesity.
Mm-hmm.
The long-term medical effects. I know people that essentially their life is not, it doesn't really amount to anything because they can't function because of their obesity.
And as you said, the effects of obesity aren't just that you're overweight.
No, and all the medical stuff that goes with it.
And the stigma with that. Oh, that person eats too much. They can't control themselves.
Yeah, fat shaming.
It's a disease.
And all that stuff.
It's a disease.
Exactly. And, you know, people are very quick to stereotype people with drug and alcohol addiction. And it's, you know, it's just a shame. What it's going to take is either something happening to them personally in their own family for them to even think about it differently. That's been my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, or just a lot more education out there about the effects of drug and alcohol addiction. It's just sad, you know. There's no rhyme or reason. You know, people get sober and next thing you know, they're picking up a drug again. How do you, well, what's the difference if they're picking up a piece of cake and it's going to kill them, their diabetes? So, you know.
You know what's crazy about it? It's like whenever I've been in the ER, there's always fellow alcoholics, addiction, and it costs society so much money. Mm-hmm. So it's such common sense. Like, treat this, and you're gonna save it so much money.
Yeah, but they're not thinking that.
They're thinking,
I don't want to pay the money now.
Yeah,
whatever happens.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's unbelievable.
It's really it's where we are.
It is where we are, and we don't. For the foundation, we don't get involved in all the mm-hmm. political stuff. We don't. There's plenty of people out there to fight those battles. We focus on the individuals and what the needs are in the, you know, I want to say in our immediate community, but the foundation has expanded greatly. We have put people into avenues in Indiana because the, you know, what they accept in Indiana is different than what we accept in Pennsylvania. So we'll put people wherever we need to put them so that they get treatment.
You guys are doing really such incredible work. I mean, it's almost like, you know, it's not easy, but you can get clean. But then when you go the next step, when you actually give back, most people don't give back. And that's not a judgment, really. It's just like there are people who are they're made to give back, and there are people who are satisfied with just staying clean. Either is good.
And I'm wondering what it feels like for you guys when you see the people, the success stories, you know, people staying clean because of the work you're doing.
I think Steve and I both look at it the same way. It's just another form of service. And
gotcha.
We don't, when we're addressing our own personal recovery in a 12-step meeting mm-hmm. or something, you'll never hear us talking about the foundation in that setting because it doesn't belong there. Mm-hmm. You know, it belongs right where it's at, and that's where the professionals know where to come to get these people help when there's none available. So, and that's what we want to keep doing is putting that message out there that there's help.
1-888-728-9941. Here's an incredible opportunity to speak with Denise or Steve. If you are having issues and you're having trouble getting into treatment, hey, man, this is as good as it gets right now. I just want to there are so many people watching here, and some of them actually have listened to us, and they're telling us where they're from, okay? You
they're ready? Following directions.
Ready?
Yep.
Did we say Michael Thomason?
Yes, we did. Right, he's okay. A friend of mine. He's great.
Debbie Reynolds. William Scott. Bob Moeller. Marjorie Hendler. Marjorie, it's a film. That's familiar.
Yeah,
that sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar. I don't know. Lou Montana.
Oh, the man.
John Alight is watching from Philly or Jersey. I forget where John is. Stephen Sussman is watching from Palm Beach, Florida. Sorry, Steve. Lauren Sawyer from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This is good. We're getting it.
Yes.
Getting where they're coming from.
Yes, we got to break out the map again, Gary.
Is it still in your trunk?
I don't know. Just for people that don't know, we had a map and we would put tacks in for where people lived. And so we'll have to do that again just to kind of.
So let me clarify that. This was Mark's project.
It was my idea. Yeah.
The map has been in his car for 9 years and we used got it for away one from month.
It. We got away from it, but we got to do it again because then people will put where they live, you know?
Well,
I think it was a great idea.
I think it is if you actually did. You had a lot on your mind, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like what?
Yeah. I can't remember. This was like 9 years ago.
All right.
Something like that.
Gene M. from State College, Pennsylvania writes to us, why can't I smoke medical marijuana on campus if it is prescribed to me? That's a good question.
Well, I mean, I'm sure all the campuses have their own rules, right? And I guess I don't have an answer for that. I guess it's just because that's the rules, right?
I remember smoking in class at Temple University, in class.
Pot?
No, cigarettes.
Oh, I remember smoking before class, every class. Pot, yes, yes.
Yeah. So. Leslie V. from Philadelphia, Mississippi. Did you know there was a Philadelphia, Mississippi?
I did not.
Okay, now you do. Do you guys see addiction stopping ever? Maybe I think maybe decades from now, but no, I don't.
Yeah, I don't see it. No. You guys,
what do you think?
No. It's been around for decades.
But in this intensity, I mean, in this, like with the fentanyl and azoxylene and, you know, when we were using, Steve, when we were taking Quaaludes, nobody died.
I was a heroin addict.
Right.
I was on methadone for 5 years before I came into the program, and very rarely did you have overdoses.
But yeah, we're reading stories that the overdose numbers are dropping.
They are.
How?
I don't know. Maybe it's law enforcement.
No, I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know.
Education, maybe.
Could be education. M-A-T. I mean, they just did a drug bust in Hillsborough, Florida. They said that they saved 55,000 lives with the amount of fentanyl that they took off the street. 55,000 lives. Yeah, that's crazy.
And now the Narcan being readily available, police, fire, everybody
fentanyl
carrying.
Fentanyl doesn't work with Narcan.
Yeah.
What's that?
Fentanyl doesn't work with Narcan.
Wait a minute, it doesn't?
No. Not really. Mm-mm.
I guess it depends how strong.
Yeah, and it depends
so
on how many
days.
Shots
is
you
that
need.
You're
One
saying?
Shot doesn't work on fentanyl.
Man, you know, we're probably through education and whatever else, as far as law enforcement and the court system, we're probably getting better with that, where they are not so apt to incarcerate instead of get somebody treatment. So I think in that direction, at least around here, it's getting better. I mean, because I talked to a lot of judges and DAs, and they get it, most of them. They get it. It was hard to get the police and the first responders to buy into helping somebody with Narcan. That was a challenge because, as we said before, I don't want any part of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. You know, that whole stigma, I think it's changing.
I think the world is getting better. Like in New Jersey, you can go into a police station and ask for help and they have to place you somewhere.
They actually have that in Pennsylvania. It's called the LETI program, mm-hmm. Law Enforcement Treatment Initiative.
Right.
I never remember that.
Well, the fire department has their AR2 and AR3 program for addiction and mental health, and they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're like hands in. It's great.
Yeah. So maybe all these positive things
there's
happening.
There's definitely more outreach than ever.
Yeah.
Right? And there's more discussion than ever. Right? NA meetings are on TV.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's like a common theme today where years ago you didn't hear about it at all.
So let me ask you guys something. Mark and I talk about this. Anonymity, okay? My personal opinion, there shouldn't be any unless you're trying to hide it from an employer, which I totally get. I think anonymity keeps all this in the back room.
So if you think about what anonymity, when it came up, right? It came up in AA because they didn't have enough people to handle the rush of people coming in, right? So it's at the level of press, radio, and films, right? There's arguments today that is Facebook press, radio, and films. It's not. It's social media. It's a social platform.
It is now, yeah.
Right? So my opinion is that sometimes we stretch this anonymity thing out. Like Dr. Bob, who is a co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, said that when it comes to anonymity, if you don't give your last name in an AA meeting, you're breaking the 11th tradition because it says at the level of press, radio, and films, not in the meeting. So I think that people in the program take anonymity way too far.
Yeah, I mean, we've been criticized here, and I don't care. Yeah. I don't care at all.
I don't criticize. People come to me, and they say, what do you think about Facebook? I said, it's a social platform. It's not.
It's about getting people help.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then in AA meetings, some people at the end of the meeting, they have an announcement, right? Like, what you see here, let it stay here.
Yeah.
If I let it stay there, who would learn about it?
Exactly, Steve.
That's how I feel about
it. I totally agree.
Now, I shouldn't tell you about people being there.
No, correct.
Because there are stories like that. Like, there was in one of the groups that I used to go to, somebody brought a child into the room, and the child's teacher happened to be there, and he went back to school and told everybody, and the guy, teacher got fired years ago. So you have to look at that stuff too, right? You have to be careful and logical about it. But I think what we do should be public. Look at the TVs. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And right? Bill W. was on the radio a couple times.
Yeah, years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. And I kind of feel like if they were alive now, they would be like, we got to use the vehicles to get this out with the opioid epidemic and the horrible alcoholism. I mean, it was around back then, too.
Yeah, but Bill had all these grandiose ideas of what he was going to do, and he would have loved to be able to do it, right? Dr. Bob would have leveled him out a little bit.
Yeah.
I think social media, even the Zoom platform when COVID hit, was really what carried. I know people that got clean and sober during the COVID epidemic, and online meetings were the only place that they could get their help.
But
it's amazing.
If you think about it, I'll tell you a personal story. So when my daughter passed away, mm-hmm. I went to meetings, but I didn't like talking. I was just silent, right? I didn't want to talk. My sponsor tried to make me talk and stuff. So I went online and tried to find a way to communicate to people, mm-hmm. not face-to-face. And there used to be chat meetings.
Yeah.
Before Zoom and video, there were chat. You would type. The speaker would type their message. Responders would type their message. And that was 21 years ago that there was an online communication with AA.
Right. Was it on AOL back then, in chat rooms?
Yeah, it was that like that. It was just typing. So today, if you go and look at, there's an international intergroup for online meetings. You can get them anywhere in the world today. And it opens up a world. Think about this. How many people can get to a meeting in Alaska? Right? So there's just so many openings. And for COVID, it just opened up a world, and now some people, I travel a lot, so if I can't get to a meeting because I'm traveling, I go right on a Zoom meeting, and I can find it at any time.
I went to Florida over the, over the wintertime. I was able to listen to meetings the whole way down.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It opened up. So when we talk about recovery's better, it's. I think there's a lot more public conversation about this subject than there used to be, right?
Absolutely. And that also lowers the shame of it all, because everybody's affected by something.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that one person that asked the question, why can't I smoke in class? Because it affects – because it could – if I was in that class, I wouldn't like it because I'm in recovery.
You're horrible.
Right.
No, but she said on campus. Still,
you smell it everywhere.
If you go down the shore at places in Vegas, you smell it all the time. My nostrils aren't good. She says,
I hate
smell that stuff.
So do I.
Yeah, I hate it.
It's all over the place.
I kind of like the smell, but that's not a good thing. You know what I mean? I smell it on 95. I smell it everywhere. Wah-wah.
That's why this guy here, Steve and I, we do Quaaludes. You can't smell it.
Yes, and I'm glad they went out in 1983, and I was never 84. Exposed to them. 84. I would have been in big trouble.
Same.
Isn't that horrible? We know that. Yeah. I didn't know anything from school, but I can give dates. When Quaaludes stopped where every pharmacy in Philadelphia was.
He still has an old bottle, empty, from back in the day.
Maybe empty.
Maybe great empty. Souvenir.
Whenever people bring that up, all the guys that did them, they always have this huge smile on their face. And for us younger people, we're like...
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about younger. All of you guys. When they bring up Quaaludes, they all smile and get giddy and stuff.
It's like if you're in a restaurant and somebody brings you a chocolate cake, everybody smiles when they put that cake down on the table.
And they look at you like, you don't know what it was like. You know?
All right, Paul Yu from Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Thank you for all the years that you guys have been broadcasting. You boys have helped so many.
That's nice to hear.
That's nice, yep.
Yeah. It's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Listen, we have a caller on the line. Suzanne, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
outstanding.
Where are you calling us from?
I am calling from Newtown.
Bucks County.
Yes.
Great.
These are my two favorite people you have on.
They are great. They are fantastic. Tell us a little bit about Steve and Denise that we don't know.
They're very humble people. They won't tell you. But since I have a big mouth, I'll tell you.
I can't hear.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't hear.
Denise has changed my life.
Hold on one second, Suzanne.
Yep.
You can't hear?
No.
Okay, hold on one second. We just have a little technical difficulty. Okay, while we're fixing that, all right, give us a little information about the two of them.
Okay, so Denise has changed my life.
How so?
She is my sponsor. She's somebody that she's never quit on me. I tend to go MIA, like I'm good, so I kind of go on the back woodwork. Mm-hmm. And anytime I rear my ugly head, she pulls me back in. she's more than willing to give you the shirt off her back.
Nice.
And never discusses it.
She's
also somebody that keeps secrets, which is rare to find. But
do you mean if you tell her something in confidence, you do not have to worry that that somebody else will hear about it?
No, it goes nowhere.
Great.
She's a vault. I'm a vault. She's a vault. I love that. So I'm also a tough I'm a tough person. I'm not a huggy kissy person. And yet she'll pull me in and then I have a smile on my face. I've known Denise. I've been sober for over 5 years. Mm-hmm. I have never heard her complain at all. And this is rare. I have never heard anybody say a bad thing about Denise. And I'm saying that because I played sports and there's one coach that I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about. And that should tell you what stellar people they are.
I know. I know Steve,
but I don't know Steve as well as I know Denise. I know Denise however, with all my heart.
Susan, I hear they throw great recovery parties too. Is that the word on the street?
No, New Year's Eve party.
We have a blast, regardless of what we're doing. You know, it's always fun. It's always everybody involved. I have, again, some things rattle my cage more than others, and it's just always fun. We just did a goth outing, and we had a blast.
Great. Hey, Suzanne, listen, we have to go to a break. I'm getting yelled at right now. We are so happy you called into the show, and the best of luck to you.
Thanks. Love you guys.
Love
bye.
You too.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, is your addiction staring back at you? Too many times, that answer is yes. At Gaudenzia, we see you differently. We see you as a whole person, healthy and at peace, living beyond the stranglehold of drugs or alcohol. At Gaudenzia, we see a pathway with tools you can use to lead you to recovering the life you want to live, recovering the life you want to share with the family who loves you. At Gaudenzia, we see hope and believe with the effective treatment we can offer designed uniquely for you within reach of where you are standing. You'll look into the mirror and see the potential for the fulfilling life that is in you. This time, you'll find your hope at Gaudenzia. It's spelled Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. Again, it's 833-976-4357. Begin to recover your life through treatment at Gaudenzia today. Begin today.
What's happening? Brandon Novak here from Those Movies Jacks, or author of that addiction memoir, Dream Seller. Do me a favor and tune into Clean and Sober Radio with Gary Hendler.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And we're back. Clean and Sober Radio. We're here with the Leckermans, Steve and Denise. I just want to mention some person that is watching us on the show, Lauren Sawyer. She's at Malvern Institute on King Road. She heard the quote, "I recovered loudly so others do not die silently. I am proud of where I came from, no matter how hard it was." So I guess it dovetails into, we should be proud of being in recovery. We should spread the word. on any medium you can think of, that is not harmful or hurtful to anybody. That's all.
You know, I just remember being so isolated, not knowing there was a way to get better. And I think so many people in treatment that I've run into, but their first time in treatment are like, wow, I can actually get help with this, because we were so taught to keep secrets about it, sure, or to, you know, being ashamed and everything like that. Yes. And so it's like, it's so refreshing when you see somebody cross into that. Wow. There's people just like me, you know, and that's what it's all about. Don't you think?
I totally agree with you. 1-888-728-9941. What, are people afraid to call in here today?
I don't know. But, you know, hopefully they're staying sober, enjoying themselves, right? And, yeah. Gary will hit these things at the most awkward times.
Yeah, I did it once at a really inappropriate time.
Somebody was telling a sad story, and he hit the for it by accident or something. And I was like, you know,
Yeah, okay.
I think your elbow hit it or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes we kick each other under the table. Right?
Yeah.
Listen, you're listening to the show. There's a lot of great information. If you need or suspect a loved one needs help, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP, and you will get assistance. Mark, you have a phone number.
Yeah, there's another number, and that is 988, and that's the National Suicide Helpline. If you are, you know, having thoughts or, you know, thinking about it, call that number. They will help you. They will hook you in with treatment. It's a great resource, 988.
And, you know, suicide, the stigma on suicide is probably worse than on addiction for some reason.
And it's so tough.
Right. Yeah. And people need to know there is help out there. And there is that number. The number you gave and the number I gave are actually trained people who will get you some kind of treatment resources to figure it out.
And if anybody's out there and your mind's telling you that the world would be better off without you, which is a common thing with depression, don't listen to it. Reach out to your family, because that's a lot of, you know, people say it's a selfish thing, but literally people's heads turn on them and they think they're like being a relief to family by you know, so it's definitely reach out, 988.
So do you guys have any, we're almost up at the hour. Tell people where they can reach you, and any words of advice or.
They can reach us always through the website, leeshelp.org. There's links on the website for applications, for to contact us. We have a couple people that monitor the page for, you know, and people that leave messages through our Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. We're always available through the treatment centers, too. Like, all the treatment centers, especially in the tri-state area, know how to get in touch with us. So if there's a need for help, it's definitely here. And we're not the only ones. Like, there's other foundations out there. There's David's New Day, Casey's Cause. Like, there's a couple in our own immediate area that do the same thing pretty much that we do. So,
well, we only care about you.
Well,
okay?
Thank you. We care about everybody,
because
for us, having the foundation named after Lee, people are saying her name every day, getting help behind her name. So it's a really good thing.
And give the web, it's Lee, L-E-I-G-H.
S. H-E-L-P. Leeshelp.org.
Leeshelp.org. Remember that.
And we're always doing fundraisers, too. This is how we make our money. We have corporate donors. We work with a lot of the hospitals in the area. But we're always doing fundraisers. And a lot of them, like, we don't believe in boring fundraisers. You'll never go there and be looking at your watch, what time can I get out of here, you know? We do. We just had our golf tournament, which was very successful. We have drag queen bingos that we do through the fall.
It is so much fun. Anything they do to raise money and awareness is exactly how it should be.
Right, yeah. And there's so something for everyone. That's not everybody's cup of tea, you know what I mean? And it's okay, but there's something for everyone.
Yeah,
and all of our fundraisers are very successful.
Gary, you would have liked, we had a dance party.
Yeah.
Last year, it was so much fun.
We hired a band.
Can you dance? I bet you're a good dancer.
Not really, but that's
yeah. That's
okay.
What I heard. But I just said.
Are you?
Huh?
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't dance sober, and I couldn't drunk either, but I felt like I was good at it.
The delusion's real,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Guys, thank you so much for
thanks,
coming
guys.
Here.
Thank
it's
you.
Beautiful seeing you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
And remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Handler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you, everybody, for supporting us and joining us each and every week. Have a great weekend.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
The dust.